You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I think this team is, they're the real deal.
They are.
They're going to hit. Their offense is relentless. I think they're gonna rake. They're gonna be one of the best offenses I think we've seen ever.
Fly ball onto the track at the wall. It's gone. Home run.
Turns on a ball deep right field. Oh God!
What a game! What a moment!
Opening week rolls on, my friends. We are one day away from opening day. Today is Wednesday. We have National League preview for you today. Yesterday, we had the American League preview. So we're going to go division by division from 5 through 1, saying our picks, where we think everyone's going to finish, playoff teams. And then tomorrow, we'll have a full playoff bracket and award winners and all of that stuff. So make sure you follow. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple or Spotify. You can also watch everything on Spotify and YouTube, and follow us on TikTok because we're getting close to 100,000 followers and we really want 100,000 followers. So National League preview day, Alex, one day away from opening day. I can't wait.
I know. It's here. You can feel it. The energy's in the air. But before we get to the National League preview show, we need to address Shohei Ohtani and the statement that he made on Monday regarding the gambling situation with Ipe, because this is the first time we're hearing from Ohtani giving his side of the story, and it's some pretty crazy stuff, Ben.
Yeah, so look, he just stated the day prior that he wanted to speak and wanted to speak to the media. So he went out with an interpreter and basically said, straight from his mouth, these quotes. Started by saying, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. And then said, I have never agreed to pay debt or make payments to the bookmaker. I never bet on baseball or any other sports or never asked anyone to do it on my behalf. I am very saddened and shocked that someone who I trusted has done this. And lastly, followed up with, to summarize, I do want to make it clear that I have never bet on sports or have willfully sent money to the bookmaker. I am beyond shocked. It's really hard to verbalize how I'm feeling right now. So, we talked about this situation the other day as it was all unfolding. A lot is going to continue to unfold. This has officially, Major League Baseball has launched an investigation into this. When we originally talked about it, they had not. On Friday of last week, Major League Baseball did announce an investigation. And on Monday, Shohei spoke and said those things, amongst some others that I just mentioned. But those are direct quotes from Shohei about this situation. And Alex, you and I talked about it the other day.
Yeah.
We're talking about Ipe, his interpreter, who was a best friend of his. And you could, in my opinion, see emotion on his face and to hear him say things like, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies, was alarming to see and pretty crazy. So again, I do think this is just the tip of the iceberg. We said it the other day. There is an investigation underway now. Shohei said he is fully cooperating with the investigation, but the season is about to start and he's going to let everybody handle it from here. And this was his statement to be made. And we will, as always, everything that happens along the way, you will hear it here on Flippin' Bats.
It's heartbreaking to hear from Ohtani, if this is the exact situation that went down that he's telling us right now, this is not just his interpreter, but this was like his best friend and his brother who has been with him every single day of his Major League Baseball career. Every single day. And now, starting his new season with a new franchise, a new chapter in his life, with the one person he probably trusted the most out here, is not there anymore.
Yep.
It's just heartbreaking. The whole situation is heartbreaking for both of them.
All right. National League preview show?
Let's do it. All right, let's get started in the NL West. But before we look at our 2024 predictions, let's take a look at how things kind of mapped out in 2023.
Yeah, not particularly close, Alex.
No, not at all.
Yeah, the Rockies bringing up the rear at 59-103. The Giants were in fourth, Padres third, D-backs came in second, and the Dodgers won 100 games. They went 162 and won the division. But as we all know, the D-backs ended up in the World Series. They squeaked into the playoffs at 84-78. And ended up, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
Getting in, getting hot when you get to the playoffs. And they were able to do that, knocked out the Dodgers in the first round, as it seems always happens in the playoffs. So
they are one of the best regular season teams. And hopefully with these new additions, it's going to transform them into one of the best playoff teams. But we're going to talk about that right now, because let's get to the 2024 predictions. Who do you have kind of... like, what do you call it? Bottoming out?
Bringing up the rear. You can use what I just used.
Okay.
Bottom. Yeah. All right. We're going to start at number five with the Rockies. Again, we're going to go 5-1 throughout all these divisions. I think the Rockies are going to come in fifth place. In fact, I will go so far to say I know the Rockies are going to come in last place.
Yeah.
60-102, 44 games back is my prediction. And we don't really need to talk all about the Rockies too much.
No, but
not
the next
great.
Four teams like have the potential to be good teams. So who do you have finishing in fourth place in the NL West?
Fourth place, San Francisco Giants. Really good additions.
Yeah.
I got them at 84-78,
okay.
Which is going to be fringy playoff territory.
Yeah.
Right in there. I think the Giants did really, really well this offseason. Most specifically, very recently, the addition of Blake Snell is huge for them in that rotation. There's potential that their rotation could be really, really good. But I still have them as a fourth-place team, 20 games out of first place.
Okay, then I'm interested to see who you have here in third place.
Yes, my third-place team is the San Diego Padres at 84-78, the exact same record as I have the Giants having. So it's not that the Giants are... much worse team than the Padres, in my opinion. In fact, a couple of these teams are all really close. So I do have the Padres, again, right there on the edge of a playoff team. It was the addition of Dylan Cease for me that was huge for them, and it was watching them in Seoul that really made me say, and I said it here on this show last week, wow, this could be a playoff team. They could be. I would not be shocked. I have the Padres at 84-78 and in third place.
Okay, so then in second place, I'm guessing the D-backs.
Yeah, I do think the D-backs got a lot better. I do. 85-77, so I have 2, 3, and 4 all separated by one game. I think all these teams are going to be very close in this NL West.
Okay.
So I have the D-backs at number 2, still finishing 19 games back from... who I have winning the NL West, the Los Angeles Dodgers, at 104-58. I think this team is, they're the real deal.
They are.
They're going to hit. Their offense is relentless. And I think I tweeted that as I was up. It kind of gets lost on me what exactly I was tweeting at 4 a.m. during the Seoul series.
Oh, but I was like, just randomly.
I think one of the things I half awake, half asleep tweeted was, this offense is relentless, and they got behind big time behind the Padres. And again, I don't want this. This is not about the Padres deserve a lot of credit for that game and putting up a ton of runs, but the Dodgers just never went away and stayed in it and stayed in it and stayed in it. That offense is really good. You're not going to get many starts like Yamamoto had in his first one. I do believe he's going to be a lot better. I think that rotation's going to be really good. Bobby Miller looking really good his last start in spring training. He's going to start. I saw Bobby Miller starting game 2 of the year. Tyler Glasnow is going to start game, not of the year, but of opening day, Thursday,
opener.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And Yamamoto is going to start the third game. So this rotation still can be really good. I think they're going to rake. They're going to be one of the best offenses I think we've seen ever. I'm going to take 104 wins for the Dodgers. But one of my wild card teams comes from the NL West, and
it is
the Arizona Diamondbacks, the World Series contending team last year, National League champion last year. A lot of additions this year. I really do like what they did. Eduardo Rodriguez in the rotation, a big addition. I know he's starting on the IL, but Eugenio Suarez, Joc Pederson, just some thump that they added to that lineup that I like a lot. So Dodgers win the division. D-backs get in as well. Alex, agree or disagree?
I agree with the Dodgers.
Of course you do.
Winning the division, I think that's a no-brainer, especially with the big-name additions that they have. The offense that is just absolutely explosive. That we got a peek of in the Seoul series, and the rotation is going to figure it out. Yamamoto's going to be great. But I have the Padres as my wild card team.
Yep.
You think they're a playoff team? I believe they are going to
Aren't they the same thing?
No.
What?
You think they might
be. Keep going.
I believe that they will be. That's
keep
the
going.
Difference.
You are killing it. We'll come back to this.
All right. They have the talent, right? Last year, we thought that was the year they were going to do it. And they were one of the biggest disappointments that we've seen in Major League Baseball, right? Now we're going to get a full season of Fernando Tatis Jr. He is healthy. You add a Dylan Cease. Yes, you lose Soto and Blake Snell, but they still revamped their pitching rotation, and they have a really exciting rookie in center field in Jackson Merrill. I think he's going to have a breakout season. He didn't even look like it was his major league debut in the Seoul series. He looked so comfortable and ready to be there. I believe this is the Padres season to finally live up to the expectations that everyone had last year, carry it over here. Maybe not as high as expectations, and that's going to help them out.
Okay, back to what we were saying.
Okay.
This is good. And you know I think they could be a playoff team. I have all these teams separated by three games. I was calling out is you said you think that they will be a playoff team. I believe. And those are like one and the same. That's all I got for you.
I don't think so.
I believe so.
Okay, let's move on to the NL Central.
Okay.
Before we look ahead, let's look back at the 2023 season, all right?
All right. Put it on up. Here we go. We got it in the wall now, and we're bringing up the rear again with the fifth-place team, the St. Louis Cardinals. 71-91 last year. Really, really bad in a really bad division. It never clicked for the Cardinals last year. With a lineup that was supposed to be really good, they never figured it out. They came in last place. In fourth was the Pittsburgh Pirates at 76-86. In third place was the Reds over 500 at 82-80. Second place, the Cubbies at 83-79. And in first place in the division last year, the Milwaukee Brewers at 92-70.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Take a mental picture, if you are watching right now, of how last year turned out, because I do not think it is going to be the same. Let's take a look ahead.
Let's move on.
To 2024, right? Who's at the top right here? The Brewers. Ben, who do you have finishing in fifth place for 2024 in the NL Central?
From first to worst.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Brewers. I think they go 78-84 this year, 10 games back. I think this division will be much improved. I think the Brewers are not improved at all. In fact, going backwards. Last year, what they've had success with for the last few years is that rotation of Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta. Well, they're going to have one of those guys this year. Corbin Burnes out the door, Brandon Woodruff injuries. Then you have no additions. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is a good addition to that lineup. I do like that a lot. But other than that, you just look around the field and the offense was never a strong suit for this team. It was always the rotation. Mm-hmm. It was always the back end of the bullpen. Now you have Devin Williams starting the year on the IL. He's going to be out for a while. You have a rotation that's going to be pretty bad, to be honest with you, and a rest of the division that has improved. So give me the Milwaukee Brewers from first to worst in the NL Central.
Okay, and in fourth place, same as 2023, you got the Pirates.
I think the Pirates are a 500 team this year, though.
Which is better than
I think they
did
can
last
go
year.
81-81, finishing seven games out of first place. I'm going to be honest. I am really excited for a left side of the infield of O'Neill Cruz and Ke'Bryan Hayes. I think this is the first year where we're going to see the full potential of that. Hopefully everyone stays healthy. When healthy, I think O'Neill Cruz is going to show that he can be a superstar in this league. I really do. He's had a fantastic spring training. I think injuries have derailed a few different seasons in his career, not allowed him to really get momentum going. I think he has that momentum going. I really do think he's going to be good this year. But Pirates as a whole, give me 81-81. Pretty good bullpen. Not a great rotation. Not a great offense, but pretty good team. That's what I'll say. Pretty good.
Yes. All right. Well, at number three, last year they finished in fifth. Ben, you believe they're going to finish in third, the St. Louis Cardinals.
I think this is, look, I don't think the Cardinals were as bad as they ended up last year. I don't. I think things just went off the rails and they were never able to figure it out. I think their offense, as we sit right now, is the best offense in the NL Central. I think their rotation deserves to be in my grandpa's old folks' home in Virginia. Ugh. All of them. They're all old. They're already getting hurt. Sonny Gray, not starting the year pitching. I know he's not going to be out long, but Michaelis, Gibson, Lynn, I mean, we're pushing 120 years old there combined.
Oh, stop.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably over 120 years old, to be
Keep
honest.
Keep it going.
This is part of my point. It's an older rotation. Yes, you can get some valuable innings out of them, but they're on the back end of their career. You're going to deal with injury concerns. You already are with Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
I do not like their rotation whatsoever. I do like the offense. I think they can be an over 500 team. I do not think they should be the favorite to win this division, though I still think they are in terms of odds out there. I don't think they should be. I have them at 82-80.
Interesting. Okay. Now, these top two teams are both really exciting this year. At number two, you got the Cubbies.
Yeah, the Cubs I have in second place at 86-76, two games back of first place. The Cubs, I think, were a team talked about with Shohei for a long time, didn't end up getting him. They did bring back Bellinger, which I think was not just important for their lineup, it was vital for them to have success this year. The Cubs would not be good enough offensively this year without Cody Bellinger in that lineup. So I did feel like it was important to do that. Justin Steele, full year of him in the rotation, could push for a Cy Young Award again. He was close last year. And by all accounts, Imanaga, really good. Nasty. It's a little different than what we've seen coming out of Japan lately with Senga, with Ohtani, with,
Yamamoto.
You know, with Yamamoto. We know about Roki Sasaki over there as well. So those guys are all like high velo, nasty stuff. Imanaga's a bit different.
Yeah.
Not the high velo kind of guy. Pinpoint location, nasty movement on stuff. And he's been lights out in spring training. Really good. So I think he can be good for that rotation. I love Alzolay in the back end of the bullpen. I love the addition of Hector Neris. So I think the Cubs improved, and I think they can finish at 86-76 and in contention for a playoff spot. But Alex, this should come as no surprise to anybody that's been listening for the last few months to Flippin' Bats. I am high on the Cincinnati Reds this year. I really am. Give me the Reds to win the division at 88-74. Why? Because of the rotation. I love it. Frankie Montas starting on opening day. Hunter Green going the day after that. Montas was asked about that I believe it was on Monday or maybe Sunday afternoon, but asked about getting the opening day start. And he said, I went straight up to Hunter Green and said, use this as motivation. You're going to get so many opening day starts here in Cincinnati.
That's so
You're
awesome.
Better than me. You have nastier stuff than me.
Oh, that's great.
Use it as motivation to be great in your career. I love that leadership of a rotation. I'm high on the rotation. And to have Frankie Montas, who has really good stuff, to come in and be like a veteran of this rotation is huge. Then you have Ashcraft, Martinez, Lodolo, Abbott. I really do think that this rotation can carry them to winning a division. And we haven't even talked about the offense. Another year of this really young team improving. And I don't want to hear any haters out there. When Ellie De La Cruz has a good year this year, I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm telling you, Ellie's going to have a good year. He's going to benefit from that year. I know he struggled a bit last year. Ellie's going to be great. You add Candelario. They are dealing with some injuries, which is pissing me off, man. Mm-hmm. I started talking about the Reds months ago, and I feel like every day it's a new injury creeping up. Matt McClain injured. TJ Friedl injured with a wrist. It's just Lodolo starting the year on the IL. Everywhere you turn, they're starting to deal with some adversity. Thank God they kept Jonathan India, who we heard it from his mouth on Flippin' Bats. They told him he was never getting traded. But thank God, because they needed that infield depth. Yeah, I am high on the Reds, Alex. I like them to win this division.
Yeah.
I will take them at 88 and 74. And
any
my second of three wild cards that I will mention today is coming from this division as well. I do believe that the Chicago Cubs can get into the playoffs this year. They are my second wild card team.
Yep.
Alex, what you got?
Same. I think we were talking about it a couple months ago. I am so high as well on the Reds. So much young talent and potential with this team. As you mentioned, one of the best rotations. If they can stay healthy and if we get a full season of kind of what we saw right out of the gates when Ellie De La Cruz came up to the big leagues, if we can get that consistency throughout the year, I think this team can be electric. People feed off of that kind of energy. He can be a leader, lead by example. He is a superstar in every way possible. And if he plays to his potential, this team can be unstoppable. But again, hopefully the health stays.
And potential can only get you so far. And that's what Jonathan India was talking about. He's like, enough of potential talk, no excuses. This is the year. There's no excuses. We need to make the playoffs this year. That's how good they are. I believe that's how good they can be. Mm-hmm. And for them to be as good as I believe they can be, that rotation needs to stay healthy. There's good depth. And Ellie needs to take that step forward and show why he was the number one prospect in baseball.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the NL East. Okay. Before we look ahead, let's look back to 2023 because I think it shocked all of Major League Baseball that the Mets were as bad as they were, worse than the Padres, as we talked about off the top of the show. But yeah, Atlanta, once again, just dominating this division.
Yeah, if somebody were to tell you at the beginning of last year that the Washington Nationals are going to finish 33 games out of first place, you'd hear, well, that checks
normal.
Out. If somebody were to tell you that the Mets would finish just four games above them, they'd call you a liar because nobody would believe that that would happen. But it did. Uh-huh. They finished at 75 and 87, just an abysmal year. But we talked about it ad nauseum. Wow, good usage of that, Ben.
Yeah.
We talked about that ad nauseum last year about how, hey, at least they had the ability to look in the mirror and say, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of Justin and get rid of Max and totally revamp our farm system. And they did that.
Yeah.
They got Acuna's brother, Luis Angel Acuna, who looks really good. They got Dylan Cruz, who, I mean, I do think that this can be, I do think that it can be a good thing, or Drew Gilbert, a good thing
potential.
That they did. Yes.
They're in the beginning stages of potential.
Yes.
Reds that we were just talking about segment before, one up. They now have to perform. They had that potential before. Mets are in the potential state.
So the Mets of 2023, abysmal year. Good on you for looking in the mirror and realizing you needed to pivot. Marlins came in third place at 84 and 78. Phillies came in second at 90 and 72, and the Atlanta Braves won 104 games last year, went 104 and 58, coming in first place. So, let's transition.
Yeah, okay. 2024, Washington.
Yep.
Still going to be at the bottom.
Same, but different. 69 and 93. I got them 31 games
worse.
Out of first place. Yeah, I
worse
don't think.
Worse than last year.
Yeah, I just don't think.
Nothing.
Not a lot going on there.
Well, I mean, they haven't been the same team since they won the World Series in 2019. Like, they just had fast clip.
Well, everyone knows when you win a World Series, the thing to do is tear it all down, get rid of all your good players, and completely start from scratch. Pretty smart, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's worked out well for them. If you're a Nationals fan, listening, there is some exciting things for you to look forward to. I think CJ Abrams at shortstop is blossoming into a really good player. I do believe that. I think Mackenzie Gore in the rotation can take another step forward. I think Josiah Gray, what are you going to get from him? How about him? Dylan Cruz, the name that I just mentioned accidentally with the Mets, but changed my tune there, is with the Nationals. Are you going to get him at some point? James Wood, another trade acquisition. So all the trades you made, those guys are blossoming or getting close. So there's a lot of hope and potential down in the minor leagues for the Nationals and not a completely lost year. This will be a big development year, but they are not going to make the playoffs.
Okay. Also a development year for the fourth place team, the Mets, but a better record than last year.
Yeah, I think the Mets are going to be sneaky good this year. I really do. 84-78 is where I have them, 16 games out of first place. I think they are a much better team this year, record-wise. When we look up at the end of the year, they're going to be much better than they were last year. I know it's really tough. I would honestly, if Kodai Senga weren't hurt right now, I would consider
moving
the Mets in the playoffs.
Oh, what?
The addition of J.D. Martinez to that lineup.
Who said he's addicted to the playoffs.
And signed with the Mets, correct.
Very interesting. Very interesting call there.
The addition of J.D. Martinez is big. Another year, I think those young guys, Brett Beatty, Francisco Alvarez. I am so excited about Francisco Alvarez. I drafted him so high in our fantasy league.
I'm like, we're going to get fantasy talk in every show.
Oh, fantasy talk.
We?
Yeah, we like, we'll get some
fantasy. Yeah, because everyone cares about your fantasy team.
Yeah. So, yeah, just I think some improvement. Luis Severino in the rotation has looked good in spring. So, yeah, I'm not super high on the Mets. A lot of improvement and could be in that fringe playoff territory.
Okay, interesting. At number three, Miami, once again, but with the exact same record as last year.
And the exact same record as the New York Mets. They have the same record. They tie in the division, in my opinion. I think the Marlins have a really good rotation. And I think it finally goes from a rotation. We finally got glimpses last year. All we've been hearing is this rotation, if we're ranking rotations on nastiest stuff, the Marlins are at the top of that. But it was, when are they going to put it all together? And they seem to last year. With a record like this, with an offense that's not great, it's because of their rotation. It's because of Jesus Luzardo. By the way, Sandy Alcantara, who won the Cy Young Award the year prior, did not have a good year.
Mm-mm.
So you have Jesus Luzardo, Sandy Alcantara. There are some injuries that they're dealing with some elbow stuff. Edward Cabrera, Yuri Perez hurt, Braxton Garrett hurt. So there are injuries they're dealing with. But rotation-wise, they got some nasty stuff, and I think it can carry them to a record that is the exact same as the New York Mets.
All right, well, let's get to the top two teams because these are two of the most exciting teams in Major League Baseball. I believe they're both playoff teams. But you got the Phillies finishing in second.
I have the Phillies at 93-69. I am very high on the Phillies this year. I know I've been saying for a couple weeks, it wouldn't shock me. Let's not just go out there and assume that the Atlanta Braves are as much of a layup to win the division as, I don't know, let's say the Dodgers in the West. I know there's some good teams out there. Maybe they're the biggest favorite to win the division. I don't think that's the case in the NL East. The Phillies are a damn good baseball team.
Yep.
They are so good. They have a full year of Bryce Harper being healthy. They have a lineup that's going to have Trey Turner now hopefully being second half Trey Turner last year, full career Trey Turner to start this season.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not just forget about him in that lineup. And then Nick Castellanos and then JT Realmuto from 1 through 9 in this lineup is good. It's not as good 1 through 9 as the Atlanta Braves, and neither is their rotation. That's why I go with the Braves at 1 here. We can put them up because I made the spoiler, but do not be shocked if the Phillies push for a division title here. I don't have that happening. I have them going 93-69 and finishing 7 games behind the Atlanta Braves because I do believe to start the year, and we did week 0 power rankings, and I have the Braves at the very top at number 1 because I believe 1 through 9, the Atlanta Braves have the best lineup in baseball. I believe 1 through 5, the Atlanta Braves have the best rotation in baseball, and I think they have a good back into the bullpen. I think the Braves win this division. I think they win 100 games.
Okay.
I think they go 162. And once again, and keep their streak going, win the AL East. NL East also.
Yep.
No, just one of them. They're winning the NL East.
Okay. And then Phillies as a playoff team?
Yes,
wild card?
Good call. Phillies are my wild card team. My third of three.
Okay.
And no order. That's just, so I go D-backs, Cubs, Phillies are my three wild card teams from the NL. Alex, who do you have winning
the division? My three wild card teams were Padres, Cubs, Phillies. And honestly, I think it's better for the Phillies to finish in second place. I think it's better for their brand. They kind of need that chip on their shoulder, and they are built for the postseason. Once they get to the postseason, that's when they come alive, and then that's when they take down these powerhouse teams that everyone thinks, oh, it's going to be a cakewalk. We're playing the Phillies. No, it's not. They're going to beat you, and they're going to move on. So I think it's actually better for the postseason for the Phillies to finish in second.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. No. And when they get in as a wild card, it's just dangerous because typically it's probably going to be the number one wild card seed. Yep. So whoever ends up as the five seed when the Phillies are the four is going to have to go into Philly and win two out of three there, which is just a hard thing to do. Well, I mean, the D-backs did it, so it does happen, but it is not an easy thing to do. So, yeah, I have the Phillies as a wild card team getting in and being very, very, very good.
Same.
And you know what we're going to talk about tomorrow?
Awards.
Full playoff bracket. We got awards, MVPs, Cy Youngs, Rookie of the Year, and notably, everybody can't wait for these playoff brackets. Every team that gets in all the way up through the World Series and crowning our
World Series champ.
Correct.
Yes.
But
that's what we're doing.
Tomorrow is opening day, my friends.
Let's have a great day,
everyone. We have an episode coming out tomorrow as well. Tomorrow morning is that episode with all the awards and the playoff brackets. So make sure you check that out. But happy opening day. We made it. It's tomorrow. Let's do it. Thank you all for listening to this NL preview. If you missed the AL preview, it was yesterday. Go listen to that. And if you missed the day before that, it was Bryan Cranston of Breaking Bad. A lot happening this week on Flippin' Bats, so make sure you check it all out. But until then, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, whatever you want to do, wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify. You can also watch on Spotify. You can watch on YouTube and follow us on TikTok. We're getting closer and closer to 100,000 followers there. So until tomorrow, my friends, remember, find your bat and flip it. Peace.